Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Grateful for the interest you've had in this particular series that is ending tonight. It's the three Wednesday nights that basically overlap with the starting of the school year, at least for our children. I know Evangel University didn't start till today, but for our children, they've been in school for a couple of weeks now. So we've been talking about recalibrating life as we come in to this fall season. My wife Sandy and I began 2 weeks ago talking about our family life in general, how we recalibrate, just developing those routines when the fall starts, and keeping our eye on emotional health and spiritual health in our families. Last week I talked about recalibrating our priorities at a broad scale. It wasn't necessarily family related per se, but just looking at priorities and how we're recalibrating our lives, just using these, like these fall seasons. Sometimes we do this at the new year as well. We try to recalibrate. And tonight we're going to be talking about recalibrating with kids. And so we're going to be bringing it all the way back to family life. And you may not have children right now. Sandy and I are empty nesters, and we're also pre-grandchildren. So we really don't have any children directly involved in our lives, but I think all of us have probably nephews and nieces, grandchildren. Many of you have grandchildren, and quite a number of you have children at home. If you still have children at home, my hat's off to you. Especially these days, you've got a challenge and a half. And that's why I've got two great couples up here that I'll introduce in a moment who have children at home. And we're going to be tapping their wisdom and seeing what the Holy Spirit would say to us tonight. The verse we've been looking at each one of these 3 weeks is Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. It says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. And through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." So we want the rooms of our lives, and definitely the rooms of our homes, filled with those rare and beautiful treasures that we believe following Jesus' way provides for us. Then I was fascinated by two verses later in that same chapter 24 of Proverbs, verse 6. "Surely you will need guidance to wage war." If you're raising kids these days, you're waging war against the culture, against every competing demand. "So surely you will need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors." Amen? Amen. So let me introduce you to the advisors tonight. First of all, JP and Christy Vick, they moved here to Springfield about a year ago, and I have to say right up front, they came to work with the seminary here, and they have just been elected as the lead pastors at a church in Tennessee, west of Memphis, and they're going to be leaving us. The day I got that email a couple of weeks ago, I was so sad. But we have loved having you. You've gotten so involved in our church life this past year. So why don't you just introduce your family, first of all, and how long you've been married, and the age of your kids, and just anything more specific about what you've been doing.
Well, I'm JP, this is Christy, and we've been married 15 years, and I just wanted to get that out there first, so that I get credit for knowing the answer. And I'll let Christy introduce all our children.
We have four kids, 11, 9, 4, and 2. So wow. I'm tired. Wow.
And they're moving on top of it. Pray for these people. I love you guys, appreciate you. And also so grateful to have Joel and Cindy Sutherland. How long have you attended the church here?
You didn't tell me you were going to ask that question.
I didn't tell you.
He told
that.
Me the anniversary was coming, but he didn't tell me that.
It was our first date, actually. Yeah.
Your first date?
I started attending here. I started working here actually doing maintenance in college. So 96, 16, 23 years I've been here. Our first date was actually here.
That's cool. I didn't know that. And so you've been married how many years now?
We have been married 18 years. I want to be sure I got it right. 18 years. And I'm Joel, and this is Cindy. Yeah. And then I'll let her introduce our kids.
We have two children. Chloe is 15. She's a freshman. And Luke is 13. He's in eighth grade. I'm sorry. She's a sophomore. They're growing so fast. I who spoke. So she's a sophomore now at Hillcrest, and he is an eighth grader.
Are you working full-time, Cindy? You're a pharmacist.
I am. I was fortunate enough to be part-time while they were smaller.
Yes.
And then back in 2014, I went back full-time.
Yeah.
So that was a little change, but it's working out okay.
So cool.
And I was thinking, I see the McBrides out here. I should have had them do a little legal disclaimer, like we are not professionals. Any information we give should not be, you know, used in any way that could be harmful.
I actually checked to see if it was a two-part series. What not to do this week, what to do next week, but it's not.
Yeah, I know. Joe, you work at Cox South still, right? What's your formal title there?
I'm a respiratory therapist at Cox, department supervisor, and I've been there since 99.
Awesome. One of the things we really wanted to talk about tonight was this whole wrestling match with all the demands that are on our children now. I realized schools used to sort of, like with sports and extracurricular activities, sort of respect Wednesday night and Sunday mornings. They don't do that anymore. They schedule right across that. Kids get involved in sports. They get involved in chess clubs. It's just everything. And then you've got junior Bible quiz here, and you've got, you know, boys ministry and girls ministries and youth group and all of these things, and you want probably your kids in church on Sunday morning. May I start with you, Joel and Cindy? You've got two teenagers now. How are you wrestling with those priorities, and how are you making priority decisions right now with your kids?
Pastor said to keep this honest, so honestly, guys, sometimes it's poorly is the answer.
Yeah.
You know, two things as we were talking about this. Cindy brought up the first one, and it does tie into what we're talking about. But through all of the craziness, we have tried to make a priority of having family dinners together, supper at night. I work 12-hour shifts a lot of times, so I wouldn't go home until 7:30. And even when the kids were younger, she would get the kids, give them baths, and get them ready for bed, give them a snack, and we would eat as a family.
Excellent.
And we talked about it. That's where we... Honestly, that's where we have had the most opportunity for spiritual application and what happened at school and how could you have handled that differently. It's really been a hub that we've tried to keep consistently. And here again, it doesn't happen every night. Tonight, we had to get to church and picked up the kids from practice, and it didn't happen tonight. But most nights, that has been a central theme that we've tried to hold on to help kind of keep some...
Stability. And actually, you can see emotional growth. Say, we talked about that at church last week, and say, how could you have handled that situation differently? And literally, the next time it came up, I tried what you said, I tried what we talked about, and this is what happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have literally seen emotional and spiritual maturity in my children as a result of those discussions. Yeah. And then being not afraid to talk about anything.
Yeah.
We've made everything open, everything on the table from the time they were really small. And even now, they're not afraid to talk about anything with us, which sometimes is scary, but sometimes we have to look it up and Google it because we're not sure.
Yeah. Urban Dictionary under the table.
Serious.
We're trying to figure this out.
Yeah. Google has become a parent's best friend. Yeah,
yeah, but it's really been helpful.
And then one other thing that we thought we'd share, just a real practical, wrong or right, what we've done scenario. Both the kids play basketball, and I used to coach their teams, and I quit about seventh grade, I guess. And seventh grade is where, like you said, when I was growing up, I played sports. We didn't have Wednesday night conflicts, Sunday conflicts, and you do now. So seventh grade, where both the kids played, was the year that those games were on Wednesday night, all of them. So we had to decide, do we take them out for a year, which, you know, really will affect them in sports, or how do we handle that? So what we did is we looked at the schedule, and there were several games before and after church. They'd wear their uniforms, you know, to church after the game or before the game, and we were able to make those. And then the remainder of the ones that were during church, there were one or two times during the sessions that there was a doubleheader, and we decided to let them play those games because the team would wear out faster, and we felt like we wanted to still be loyal to that, and since we had agreed to play. And then the rest of those games, we just had an honest conversation with the coach and said, you know, we attend church, it's a priority in our lives, and we don't want to miss any more than what we are agreeing to with the doubleheaders. But I did leave a caveat because as a coach, I know that's frustrating when people agree to it, and I didn't want to put bad taste in his mouth about church, honestly.
Sure.
So yeah. I did say, but if you ever have a time where too many kids are sick, you don't have enough players on the court, then give us a call.
Yeah.
And we left it at that.
A little flexible, and yeah.
I think the point is making to your kids, you want to make that point to your kids, we're not just going to, you know, ditch church for a year and then come back. I mean, for us, that was important.
Yes, right.
Yeah. You know, we want to say this is the priority, and we'll try to work around it.
That's really wise and admirable. That's great. Christine, JP, your children are pre-teenagers. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling the priority questions in your family, and how are you dealing with that with your kids right now?
I think we kind of threw out the word balance.
You threw it out.
Yeah, we just.
Yeah, I know. It never works, actually. You're absolutely right.
It doesn't fit. No. We tend to talk about harmony.
Oh.
So it's whatever. The 11-year-old may need some attention that the 9-year-old doesn't necessarily need, the 4-year-old versus the 2. You know, it's more like just kind of reading where they're at and going, they need some extra attention, they may need this, they may need that. Ryder's 11, well, he's 11 now, but like the last year he played Little League, we felt like he needed friends and teamwork and that kind of stuff. We made that priority because that's what he needed, but the 9-year-old didn't really need that.
Right.
So they couldn't be on the same team for some reason. So, but anyway, it's just, we just play it by circumstance, and it's more like a mix. And of course, there's 4 of them, so the mix is constantly kind of changing. So we look for harmony. We look for what's going to make things peaceful. And we always eat at the table. Our conversations aren't so mature. But I'm envying like real conversations.
You think you are.
I don't even know how to describe the conversation around dinner tonight. I mean, there was chemistry involved. There was, I'll just stop there. There was a lot of other stuff. Noises. Yeah. So, but you just let them talk. But we do try to we always make priority, actually. It's very rare that we're not all around the table for dinner, and they'd love to talk. Yeah. And most of the time at the same time. But, I mean, wouldn't you say trying to do the, trying to treat them and give them all equal time and equal, categories in their life. It was impossible. It was more about mixing it up and having harmony.
Do you ever have any of your kids sometimes saying, like, I don't want to go to church?
Oh, yeah.
Just that kind of thing. How have you dealt with that?
To be honest, suck it up, buddy, and get in the car.
Yeah, good. You're a great mom.
We're going to go to
that.
Church. So, yeah. Which is tough because they don't really understand why a lot of their friends aren't going or don't have to go.
Yeah.
And like, we're kind of pastors, so you don't get a choice. But more than that, we served in youth ministry too for several years, and we had so many parents who struggled to get their kids in church. And they would often come to us and say, hey, could you give them a call? Could you kind of motivate them? I'm like, sweetie, that's kind of your job.
Yeah.
You've got to make this a priority. You've got to set this tone in your home that says, this is going to happen.
Right.
I love you. I will take care of you. And this is a way I take care of you, by bringing you to the house of God where you can encounter your God who loves you, who died for you, and the people who also believe that, who are going to help you grow in that. So that just it's not really an option.
And we just always said, you have to go to school. You don't get to opt out.
Yeah, you don't get to opt out of that.
We don't get to opt out of church.
Yeah. Families are becoming my observation, pretty soft on requiring church like they'd require school. And how did you guys handle that?
Very similar. Growing up in my house, my parents were reasonable, and I could discuss things with them.
Yeah.
But there were some things, looking back, to be honest, oddly enough, them not being not willing to negotiate on some of the things like church, it saved an argument because I didn't even try because I knew how that would come over with my dad. Yeah. You know, I mean, it wasn't going to work. And so I didn't try, and it saved an argument. I mean, tired or not, it just how it was. And if you're sick, well, we went and prayed for you, you know. I mean, I never got on that one either. So I had to throw up to miss church, let me tell you. So.
Well, you turned out good. Praise God. Let's go to social media. It's a very intrusive medium, and all our kids probably at a certain age. First of all, did you have a policy about how old your children would be before they had a smartphone? And then how are you, even beyond smartphones, how are you putting boundaries, if you have any, around internet access, social media, all of that?
Cindy wrote, she kind of jotted some things down. I thought this really covers it fairly succinctly.
This is always a super sensitive subject, and everybody has different opinions, which, you know, I know everybody has to pray individually, and them and their spouse decide, you know, how they feel they need to proceed. But I'm actually going to quote you from a sermon that you preached the first time you were here.
Oh, yeah.
You told a story about your sister needing a different curfew time than yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And your parents saying, I don't need to have the same rules for your sister and you.
And I had never heard someone really say from the pulpit, you don't need to parent your kids equally, have the same rules for them. And that was really freeing for us.
Because how many times do you hear your kids say, well, it's not fair. You know, you're letting him do this, or he has this rule or that rule. You don't have to have the same rules for each kid, because my two children are very, very different personalities and behave very differently.
And now when they get upset, we say, talk to Pastor Bradford.
But no, seriously, that resonated with me when he preached that sermon, and we have used that when parenting our children and sat down and had conversations with them. You know, Dad and I have discussed this, we prayed about this, and we feel like this is going to be the rule for you, this is going to be the rule for your brother, and this is why. And they know what their weaknesses and temptations are. And when it comes to social media as well, I feel like boys and girls have very different issues and temptations.
That's
as well.
That's a good point, yeah.
I mean, there are some rules, and Joel can go through kind of the rules we jotted down, but, you know, boys have much more temptation. Not that girls can't have temptation with pornography, but obviously boys are more tempted by that, and girls seem to get more caught up in the bullying and and all the girl cat fighting drama issues. I mean, that's not really an issue for Luke with his friends. So it's just different things that they have to deal with their friends and phones. But our kids got a phone once we needed to get a hold of them in middle school after basketball practices, you know, different things where we needed to know what time they were going to get out, what time they needed to be picked up. But I don't know if you want to... Well,
I'll run through these real quick. And first rule she put was, my phone, my rules, no democracy here. And, you know, I've had the kids say that's not fair, and I've said, you're right, it's not fair. I pay the bill, I own the phone, and I don't get to have it, so give it to me. And then they don't mind it not being fair after that. We put internet filters on their phone right off. The first time we got exposed to that was at church. The XXX, they had XXX church, they came and spoke, and we started getting into the internet filters then, years ago, before we had kids. So we have filters on their phone.
We have them on ours, too. See, it's not just you. We all have them.
Oh, and good. It's been nice. I've been able to use that with my kids and even coworkers, just for the record, because I've actually had a guy say, right, like, you don't look at that. I said, well, if I did, my wife would know about it, and that wouldn't go over so well. So, you know, it's just been nice to have that. Only have access to social media when the social media accounts that they do have. Cindy also is on them, so she can see everything they look at.
So you do track what they do.
And their past on their phone. So anytime they get a notification, a friend text message them across it about something, she gets the notification too. Mm-hmm. So we know who they're chatting with and that kind of thing. We said number four, that we do a lot of open communication like we talked about. you know, no rules are off limits, and they'll come talk to us about things that, I mean, I really joked about Urban Dictionary before, but I really have to look up some of the questions they ask, because some of these things they're talking about now, especially with all the different sexuality, you know, that people are claiming, we have to look up some things, we need to discuss it. And then we do random checks on their phone. I'll walk over if they're on their phone, and I'll just say, hand me your phone. And I look through their phone, and then I'll hand it back to them, and I'll ask them what. And also something my brother-in-law, who's a pastor, did with his boys. He would just say, you're not in trouble, but have you seen anything that you shouldn't have? And I've talked to Luke specifically. I said, the devil will use that against you, even if you accidentally see something.
Sure.
And talking to your parents
That's
about
excellent.
It, that will help free you from that condemnation that I think Satan brings to kids.
Yeah.
And so it really will benefit you more than me for you to speak about it and break that condemnation. So.
That's really wise. How are you dealing with the online access and social media with your kids?
Thankfully, we're not knee-deep into it yet.
Yeah.
So our 11-year-old keeps begging for a phone, and I'm just too cheap. I'm not getting him one. And a lot of his buddies have one, but we know what comes with it.
Right, yeah.
And he doesn't really need one. Eventually we know we're going to have to do one because it'll be easy for him to communicate with us, you know, when he's at school and doing things like that. But right now, about the only thing that we have to really monitor is they do their school issues laptops.
Yes.
And it comes with the filters and all that stuff and blocks, you know, a lot of things. And but we learned the hard way that we just assumed the only thing that they could do on it was schoolwork.
Right.
And they can do other things on it. It blocks a lot of stuff, but they could still do other things on it. And so when we finally figured that out, because we just thought it was like a book to them. They weren't really using that.
We thought, how studious.
Yeah.
Our kids are in the rooms hours at a time doing homework.
Yeah. They're like, what is...
Yeah, well...
Because they're like games, but it's all math.
Yeah,
not
it's
my
all
kind
math.
Of fun. Yeah, yeah. But anyway... They could do other things, like look at things on YouTube. Now, not bad things, but still maybe not things we want them to look at.
Yeah.
And so I started looking at their history and found out that they were looking at it. They were waking up at 3 in the morning and getting on their laptops.
Wow. Yeah.
And that happened once or twice. So now their chargers stay in our room, and every night their laptops go. They get plugged in, so they're supposed to take them to school charge.
Yeah.
So they get plugged in, and they live in our room.
Your room, yeah.
And we have friends who, that's what they did with their whole house, everybody's charger. No one was allowed to have their own chargers. Everybody's chargers lived.
That's
and they took a picture
idea.
Of it. There's just like two power strips, because they had a big family.
Yeah.
Chargers on their dresser, but everybody in the family had to come in and plug in their phones, and that's where it lived overnight.
Yeah.
So I didn't think about that, you know, when everybody goes to sleep, what about when they get phones and things like that.
Yeah.
So
that's a great idea. How are you dealing with security issues? Do you worry about like school shootings and things, or stalkers? Is that kind of often at the front of your minds, or is that not that huge a worry? And how do you coach your kids just about safety?
It definitely is an issue. I was a teenager when Columbine happened, and then I was a parent when Sandy Hook happened, and of course the church shootings and things like that. And actually, the guy who was in the news who walked into Walmart heavily guarded with his...
Right.
That was my Walmart.
Yeah, that's near
that
where
was
you
just
live.
Around
that's
the
right,
corner.
Yeah.
That's where I shop 3 times a week. So it's... For me personally, it's always there. Not to say that I live in fear, because when we had our babies, we dedicated them to the Lord, and so they are His. We don't live in fear, but we do live prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So anywhere I walk in with my children, I notice the exits. Even in a movie theater.
Yeah, you look for the exits.
I look for the exits. And I just play the scenario in my mind. If somebody came in, what would I do? Because it makes me feel better knowing I've got a plan. Mm-hmm. Not come at me, but not until I get my concealed carry. Yeah. But just to have that little peace of mind, if God forbid that were to happen, we are all in His hand, but I know how I would get them out or how I would cover them. And that's really anywhere, wouldn't you say?
You know, after the thing at Walmart right down in the street, you know, we were talking about it. She's like, you know, I'm going to start putting them both in the cart. Normally she lets Vesper kind of follow her.
That's our 4-year-old.
And she's like, you know what? I can put them both in the cart because I can move out faster if they're both in something and go. It's sad we got to think about that.
Yeah, it is. But
we do. But now we don't translate that onto our kids. So we don't, they haven't brought up security things. The two littles definitely haven't. I'm sure teenagers are probably talking way more about it. Our oldest, though, I don't think our oldest has said anything, and I don't think we've had any conversations about feeling safe or unsafe, you know, that kind of thing. But we think about it, but I don't know if maybe we should. He's never said anything or brought it up. We don't watch the news in our house.
Yeah.
We don't have cable. And as far as our schools are concerned, our schools are pretty safe, and then they're just upgrading it, the Springfield schools, and so both of our kids' schools are getting upgraded security measures at their front doors. Yeah. And I think they're pretty much done now, which was a bonus because they were secure before. That makes parents feel good.
Yeah, that helps, doesn't it?
And
For us, you know, our kids are older, and so sincerely, when our kids start school, I used to drive by both their schools, and I just pled the blood over those schools that God would protect those kids while they're there and keep them safe. Amen. And as far as them being in school, I feel like beyond that, praying for them, there's really not a whole lot as a parent I can do except talk to them about what would you do if something happened, and we do that. Now that Chloe especially is getting older, boys can have issues too, but I've told my kids, it seems like with boys, you know, when they get 16, 17, they're out on their own. If they get in trouble, a lot of times they got themselves in trouble. And I feel like more with the girls, there's with sex trafficking and all that. We've talked to Chloe a lot about, you know, just being aware, simple things. Put your money in your wallet at the cash register. Walk out to the car with your head up, your keys out. Yeah. Don't park by the van with no windows that says free candy, you know. Park somewhere else, you know. And with that, I do want to stress, we have spent a lot of time as Chloe and Luke are getting older, talking about the Holy Spirit. Wow. And, you know, I shared with our Sunday school class, we had something happen with Luke, I won't go into it for time's sake, but that is one time when the Lord spoke to me because the Lord allowed us to find something out that could have been really harmful to Luke. And we just couldn't believe that we stumbled onto this, although we didn't. And I felt so clearly the Lord speak to me, I will be where you won't, and I'll see what you can't.
Wow.
And it just struck me. So we have talked to them over and over again. Mom and Dad won't always be there, but the Holy Spirit will. Learn to hear His voice at a young age and listen to it. Listen to it. If you hear that voice that tells you, doesn't matter what social pressure says. If social pressure, everybody's going. I saw a show one time, and the statement was, many people have died because of social pressure. And I've told my kids, or been hurt, I've told my kids, listen to the Holy Spirit. Cindy and I both really, we talk about the Holy Spirit a lot and learn what that voice sounds like.
That's very powerful, yes. Awesome. Very good. This is going to be our last questions. And you guys have been doing phenomenal. They've been doing great, haven't they? This is really awesome stuff. Really helpful wisdom. How can we, you know, we have a lot of families. Some are single parent families. A lot are, you know, two parent families. But we have a lot of families in the church with children at home, and our nursery is really growing right now, and we just keep seeming to be expanding the number of families we have in the church. How could we, as a larger church family, how could we be coming around families like yours and tangibly providing support Are there ways the church could be doing that tangibly for families?
I think you're doing it very well. It's such a relief to have a safe place and safe people to place our children in their care, but not just in their care, but in their discipleship, because it's not just babysitting going on.
Right.
The word is being preached down there. Worship is going on. The Spirit is present there. And so as a parent, to have this break, to come into church and just love on God for a full hour and a half, that discipleship and that community, the meet and greet, it's so life-giving. It's so renewing.
Yeah.
I'm not a single mom, but my mom was a single mom for several years with five of us.
Wow.
And it was really helpful for the church to be our community, to reach out and say, hey, you need any help? You need us to watch a couple of them or all of them. You need a night out. You need to go to the grocery store. I also worked for a nonprofit that serviced and discipled single moms from ages 14 to 24. And, you know, really, they just wanted older women to come around them and love on them and their kids and kind of teach them how to mom, because they didn't know how to mom.
Yeah.
So I would say, you're already doing it, and if there is more to be done, it's relationships with those mamas.
Yeah, that's a great word for us right there. Yeah,
yeah. I would just, you know, ours are still very young, and this isn't necessarily a church thing, but when we're out in public, it's sometimes they're on their best behavior. And sometimes they're not. And, you know, you're at the restaurant and you're all there, and they happen to be like hungry, so they're quiet and eating. And then this couple comes by the table and says, "You've got a wonderful family. Look how well behaved. You parents are doing a great job." And that's happened once or twice. I think twice, literally, in 11 years. That's happened twice. But, you know, and I've started doing this. What would have meant more is if it was a little rambunctious, if it was a little stop hitting your sister and throwing food and all this stuff, and you still came by the table and said, "You've got a beautiful family. You guys are doing, you're such great parents. I think you have a great meal." That's even, I think that would mean even more. And even I've started doing that when I'm out and about, and you know, there's
that's
boundaries,
encouraging.
You know,
no,
who's this guy complimenting my family? But I quickly go, "I have four children." And then they just kind of, and I said, "You're doing a great job."
Yeah.
You hang in there.
Yeah.
It means a lot. And that's something simple. And that can happen inside the church or outside the church. And so, for what it's worth.
When one of our daughters was 2 years old, we were still at church when this happened. She was on the ground throwing a tantrum. And so one of the men in the church, Sandy was there, and he said to Sandy, "Oh, look at how the pastor's daughter is acting." And Sandy was the wrong person to say that to. Fortunately or unfortunately, got put in his place, but you know, yeah, those kind of comments, you know, our kids are kids, and to not just rub it in when they're just having an awkward moment.
Right. If you want a church full of families, and you want them there a lot, you want them to come to Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, and things in between, then and it becomes their second space, you know, where the family lives, then you have to give some room for them to also parent there.
Yeah. That's a great, that's so good.
You got to let parents parent. Even when they're in a church building.
Right.
I mean, I was candidating a few weeks ago, and twice during a staff luncheon, I had to take a kid out to do a little parenting.
Yeah.
In the middle of that.
In the middle of it,
Parenting doesn't stop just because you're in a church building. So, anyway.
So, be that community of grace we're supposed to be in,
One more quick thing. I have noticed that the staff here and the volunteers are so great at engaging our kids. They don't just say welcome to us or hello to us. but they will stop and get on their level and ask them how they're doing and engage with them. And I remember there was a specific instance, that Easter thing, mm-hmm. where the line was real long. Well, our kids, our 11 and 9-year-old, were waiting, and I remember it was Pastor Crystal, I think, who just like zeroed in on them and built a relationship right there in that line.
Right there, yeah.
And that's a big deal when adults recognize kids.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I care about you. We're going to talk. They just... just blossom right there. Our 4-year-old every morning wakes up and says, is it church day? Is it church day? And if
6:30 this morning.
Yeah, 6:30 this morning.
In my face. It's church day, isn't
good.
It?
Awesome.
And if it's church day, yeah. and we have to say yes, to be truthful, every hour, is it church yet? Is it church yet?
That's what we love.
You guys have done a very, very good job.
And that's thanks to numbers of you who work with our children. You're amazing. I'm deeply, deeply grateful for what you do for our children and our teenagers. Thank you. You want to wrap it up in terms of how you think families could help us, our church could come around families?
Well, I mean, I'm not a new, church member here, but I've seen a definite change in the whole perspective, maybe is a good word, or kind of the culture of the church over the last year or two, as far as a focus, on relationship.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's very evident because, as she mentioned, parents are happy when their children are happy.
Yes.
But I also see that the parents need that relationship as well. And some people who have gone here a long time may already have that, but other people may not. Like you said, single parents or new families. But I feel like I've seen more and more people making efforts in different ways. There's more offerings. Hilo has expanded their offerings, daytime offerings, and expanded the age group of kids,
right.
the moms they're including, and trying to make more of an effort to include more moms. I've seen more people just having group events outside of church and just inviting people.
So good.
They've expanded the tribes. They're having more offerings for the tribes. And I've seen kids at tribes that I never knew went to our youth group.
That's Sunday night youth. And they meet in homes.
Group.
And we had 85 kids in tribes last week.
I've definitely seen that the women's group is having more events and more things than they did before. You guys are doing a great job at improving the relationship
Good.
Of the church, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Cindy.
I really do. And it is huge for me. As my kids have gotten older, I mean, there have been times where I've had terrible mom days, terrible mom months, where I've called on my friends from church. And they've been right there to help me. And Joel can talk about this more too, but to know that there is another group of people that are like-minded, biblically sound, raising their children, and living their lives the same way that we are in this chaotic world is priceless.
Yeah.
Because our kids are in school every day with craziness, complete craziness.
Yeah.
The stuff that they come home and say that they see, we can't believe it.
Yeah.
We cannot believe it. But it's so wonderful to be able to say, this is what we think you need to do. This is what the right thing is to do. And of course, teenagers say, well, I think that's completely unreasonable. They say that quite a bit, but we can name off 10 people. Okay, give them a call. We won't talk to them, see what they think. They usually don't want to, but we have that resource and we use it quite a bit. And so many awesome people have come and been my children's friends as well.
That's awesome.
When they needed it. And
it's fantastic.
So this body of believers is priceless.
So well said, Cindy.
That's really what I was going to say, that as the kids have gotten older, honestly, they are hearing, you know, same-sex marriage is normal. Girls liking girls and guys, and boys liking boys and girls, all these things.
Changing their gender.
Yeah, changing their gender, yeah. This is normal. And it is so nice for them to see that it's not just mom and dad, to see others. You know, Chloe was talking to me about, male-female relationships, dating. And, you know, I've talked to her for a long time about if a boy respects you, he will not try to push you to have sex, do those things. And I actually teared up talking to my daughter. I cry a lot more as I get older, I think. That's strange.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could say, don't just look at how I treat your mom. Look at Dave Ayers. Yeah. Look at Dave Mendito, Dave Main. All my friends are Daves, apparently. But you know, look at how they're treating their spouses. And, you know, there were times that Chloe was having a discussion with Cindy and they disagreed. And I said, Chloe, call Beth Ray.
Yeah.
See what she thinks. We'd be okay with that. Your mom and I'd support that. So just having that support system, we've offered to have her call Christy, Becca. I mean, we've offered to have her call those people, get their opinion. You know, maybe they'll have a different perspective than us. And it's so nice, like you guys were saying, to trust they will get God-centered biblical answers from them.
Yes.
I don't need to listen in on the other line. Yeah. I mean, they will get that. And I just want to say, you know, talking about the family of God in this church, last year, Chloe played varsity basketball as a freshman. And it didn't go so well. She felt a lot of pressure and she started struggling. And to come in as parents, and we were really just, it was really heavy in our home. In fact, the Lord actually spoke to me about perspective, that basketball got too big, even though we weren't missing church. It was just, it became too big and we had to get it back in perspective. But in that time we were really struggling, she was having issues with friends. We were sitting in the bleachers and the Ayers, the Mendittos, the Rays, the Yankees all come walking in and sit down around us. And I will never forget that. That was the body of Christ.
Christ, yeah. That's powerful. That is the body of Christ, yeah. The church. The wonderful church of Jesus Christ. It's awesome. Let's express our appreciation. Why don't you stand here?